A preacher preached a very short sermon one Sunday. That's unusual. And he explained to the congregation his excuse, saying, My dog got into my office and chew up some of my notes. That's why we have a small, short sermon today. At the close of the Sunday service, there was a visitor who approached to the preacher and said, if your dog ever has pups, please let my pastor have one of them. I have preached a few sermons on the Bible who encourage all of us to look at the Bible with a new insight, not just be satisfied with all the insight that we learned before. I wanted to challenge ourselves to continue to find a new insight from the Bible. My hope is that we can continue to grow up in our own understanding of the Bible, little by little, every day. As a believer and followers of Jesus Christ, the word of the Bible should be the center of our faith. We should continue to our life of faith according to the word of the Bible. Amen? You know, that's why we should read the Bible every day, reflect on it, try to find a message on it, and live out from the message. But many times we treated the Word of the Bible like a textbook, which have some sort of a gap, some sort of distance from our real lives. We read the Bible and forget about it, not able to actually connect with our personal lives. In other words, there are so many times when we perceive the Bible to be far from actual our lives. That's why the message cannot get into our heart. The message have a strong power but not able to change our lives. But if we read the Bible, or the word of the Bible, like we are trying to find a treasure, then we are able to see various stories, various aspects of life in the Bible actually connect with what's happening in our lives. The life that very unique and various, the life we can connect with, all the stories we can find in the Bible. Gospel of Luke chapter 10, 25, 26, Jesus was challenged by expert of law. The expert of law said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit the eternal life?" And Jesus' answer is this, "What is written in the law?" And he continues saying, "How do you read it? What is written in the law, and how do you read it?" And then after that, Jesus continued with we all know the parable of Good Samaritan. So, how do we read? How do I read? That matters. As we read the Bible, many stories from the Bible reflect on my life. When we read it really carefully, you can find it. Wow! I am living the life similar to this person's story recorded in the Bible. Wow, I have such a relationship with God, just like this person recorded in the Bible. Abraham, Jacob, Jonah, and even one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And then that message became personal and able to shift and change the lifestyle that I have lived in. That's the power of the Word of God. I'm not trying to make an event recording the Bible more interesting, because it is already interesting. The problem is we not find them as interesting because we already knew. You know, with my almost 20 years of preaching experience, this is sometimes it's really easy for me to preach about totally new concept, new insight. I don't have to explain long with a new insight. But you know, I'm having a hard time myself to preach longer and longer to explain to you the concept, the new concept that we already knew about it. The concept that we try to upgrade. The concept we try to change. That's, I'm having a really hard time to understand. For example, when I start to preaching here, you all heard about good-looking Asian pastor. It's a new concept. We don't have to explain. But you get used to it. You need some sort of explanation. Why I'm a good-looking Asian pastor? It's a theological base. Fact with a theological base. Because God created me with God's image. So that's the explanation that we need to hear it. And then you realize that, okay, good-looking Asian pastor, it's just him, not able to connect with my personal life, but with explanation, you are able to connect the message. God created me with God's image. So I am beautiful. I'm a good-looking. Right? If Jonah's stories only focus on the fish, the size of the fish, is a whale? Well, it's not fish. Then we totally miss the point. The story of David and Goliath we read today is also the same dynamic of it. The story of David and Goliath, we know, we heard about it, we know too well. It's heroic story of David bravely going before Goliath and defeat Goliath, the giant, with one slingshot, which we learn from the Sunday school. But ask ourselves, do we really know the story? Do we really know the story enough that I can connect with this story, personal connection with this David and Goliath story? The problem is, if we too much focus on David and Goliath as a heroic action of this young boy, David, then this David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath, is no longer connect with my life. Because I ain't that brave. I ain't even a hero. So there's a gap between this amazing story and my personal life. But when we look at our lives, we identified so many different Goliaths in our lives, right? Like the everyday living, we're able to see this amazing giant that intimidate us, give fear. But somehow, because of our own understanding, somehow because we read this David and Goliath story with our own perspective, we're not able to connect with the story. The Bible does not record David and Goliath's story as David's heroic actions. Do you know that? The problem is, that's how we read it. That's how we were told. That's how we understood. Of course, the killing this Goliath, David hailed as a hero. But the true focus on this story is how David goes before Goliath, facing the giant. And he was able to defeat Goliath. So facing the giant is the key of the whole story. Let me tell you the reality that you sometimes missed in the Bible. The youngest of 8 sons of Jesse, of tribe of Judah, David was raised very neglected in his own home. Neglected, marginalized, abandoned. That's how David grew up. My brothers and sisters in Christ, you heard me. Yes, that's how he grew up. Neglect, marginalized, abandoned. Where we can find it? The verse 17 and 18 that we didn't read it today, I'm going to read to you. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of the roasted grain and this 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheese to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. That's how Jesse told David to do. But the thing is, what Jesse told David to do is usually the servants doing. The servants are the ones that actually doing this kind of stuff. But Jesse, the father, told David to do it. And he did not trust him. So Jesse told David to bring the proof that you are actually there and give this item to brothers and the commander. Give me the proof. Which Jesse did not trust David. Do you think I made up a story? It's recorded in the Bible. Let me give you another example. When the prophet Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel, where was David? Where was David? Jesse's, all the other sons were in front of prophet Samuel, but David was tending the sheep. So prophet Samuel asked Jesse, is this all you have? Chapter 16, verse 11. So he asked, Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse said, there's still youngest, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. This is an important moment for a whole household, especially Jesse's all the sons, to get anointed, one of them. But his father, Jesse, totally abandoned, ignored David. And even he was treated like a shepherd, not a son. Neglected, abandoned, marginalized. Think about this neglected David tending the sheep in the field alone, crying in tears, marginalized. Let me give you a last example. The same chapter, verse 28, Eliab, the oldest brother, verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those who sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." That's how Eliab understood David. Because David asked around when he got there, asked around the reward. What if someone killed Goliath? What reward that person will receive? Verse 26, David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who killed this Philistine and remove this disgrace from Israel?" Yeah, there was a reward. Verse 25, recorded, "The king will give the great wealth to the man who killed him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from tax in Israel." Tax exempt. That's a reward. In the scripture, David asked this reward, asked the soldier, not just one time, repeatedly, several times, because he was interested in this reward. That's why this Eliab, the oldest brother, mad at him. With the scripture, we can understand that David looked at this Goliath situation as an opportunity. The opportunity, maybe the only opportunity that changed my life. The only opportunity that changed my unjust treatment from my family. Unjust pain and suffering that he had. Used this opportunity to get out of this misery, pain and suffering in his life. You know what? When we talk about David's suffering, pain, and tears, the story of David suddenly became my story. My story. It's not hero story, but it's my story. Because I have tears and pain and sufferings in my life. David did not just face Goliath, the giant. David faced some difficult giants, or plural, some difficult giants of his life. His neglect life, his unjust life, his suffering and marginal life. David stood up before Goliath. He looked at many giants of his life that he was reluctant to deal with before. He was trembling with fears before. He was afraid with terror before, but he stood up before this giant. Yes, of course, he was afraid. He was terrified. But the Goliath who came forward with the purpose of intimidating the enemy. But David's heart goes beyond that. Those pain that he endures and sometimes shed tears in the field. All these marginalized, neglected, abandoned feeling. He put all this emotion and feeling into this sling and throw it. That's how the story of David became my story. We all know we could identify so many giants in you and my life. We could identify so many giants in this generation. So many giants that we kind of, you know, afraid of deal with. So many giants that are created, and every day these giants getting bigger and bigger. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about a giant that is this society created, a giant that political system created, a giant tradition created, a giant this culture created, even a giant a family system created, and a giant that I personally created myself. These giants are everywhere, and we are afraid of dealing with it. I like that saying, elephant in the room. Do you know that? Elephant in the room? It's like elephant is in the room, but we are pretending like it's not there. That's what how we deal with these giants. It's there, but we're pretending like they didn't exist. We're pretending like they did not exist because I'm scared. I'm afraid to deal with. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the giants that David faced. There's a giant that David was afraid of. He was scared, but he believed in that God, the Creator, is bigger and stronger than anything else. That's how David saw it. Even though he saw this amazing Goliath, he also able to see God way bigger, way stronger than this Goliath, the giant. That's why David proclaimed, verse 45, "You came against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty God." That's how David dealt with these giants that suppressed him, had surrounded him, had intimidated him. But he finally learned how to face these giants. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are living in this generation that exists, these enormous giants exist. God wants us to face this giant with strong faith. That's why you can find in the Bible so many times, "Do not be afraid, I'll be with you. Do not be afraid, I'll go with you. Do not be afraid, I will fight for you." We can find so many verses in the Bible encourage us to face this giant with confidence and strong faith. Pretending like they're not existing is not going to solve the problem. Let's not pretend like they don't exist. Let's not even pretend like we are making peace with these giants. because we are afraid. In the presence and situation that threaten us like many giants, Goliaths approaching in our lives, I really pray that we, just like David, look at the God, Almighty God's hand, acknowledging the pain and suffering, but we also be able to see Almighty God who promised us, be with us and guide us and leading us in the midst of all this storm. That's the power of faith that we should have in this generation. As facing the Goliath with strong faith, for God is with us. Let us pray. Neglected, marginalized, yet you called us, God, as your children. God, we thank you. We were afraid. We were suppressed by these giants around us. Help us, God. Help us to have courage in you so that we can face this giant. We are able to stand up the giants around us. God, help us to see you, your almighty hands, among all the troubles that we face every day, even as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. For you are with us, Immanuel God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand as you are able for the closing hymn?